Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good morning and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Deanna Potter, your petite powerhouse, and your host for Sassy Sales and Business Development. With me today is our leading lady, Michelle Burkhart. Michelle, welcome today to our show. We are very happy to have you. And Michelle is here, and her company name is Think Business. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Deanna, and thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us. Our topic today is how to reorganize your enterprise for maximum growth. And I have to tell you, I am in awe of you. I want to be you when I grow up, and I need to tell you that straight out, because I have to tell you, when I look at all the things that you do for economic impact on businesses, it just is amazing to me, because I think you cover so many just amazing, important aspects, from sales and job creation and retention. I know you focus in on, you know, business expansion and capital infusion, and I don't even know if all of us listening even know what that means. So I know that there's so much that we can learn from you today, but I want to roll right in with some of the most basic things. Tell me, what are some of the most common mistakes that you think business owners make in business today, you know, leading them to need restructure or reorganization?
Well, that's a very, very good question. It's very complex out there in the business world today, and it changes so rapidly anymore. But I think one of the biggest mistakes that I've seen over my career in working with people is the lack of ability to use their financial reports to really manage their business, and that's from the beginning. Those three reports are very important, and they can help you all along the way decide on whether you can hire somebody, whether your marketing is doing what it should be doing, how you could expand in certain areas, and product development. So I think that's the biggest mistake that people make from the beginning.
Okay, so I can tell you right now, Michelle, I heard groans across the nation when you said financial reports. Everybody went, oh, gosh. I know it, okay. So let's stop, because you snuck in there three financial reports, and I know that a lot of us are going, okay, so tell us what they are. Tell us what the three most important financial reports are. Let's start there.
Well, the three reports, I do a training on this. It's called Where Is My Cash? And it started out because people would say, I made so much money, but I don't know where it went. So your three reports that will help you manage any day that you pull them up is the balance sheet, which is the health of your company from the day you started your company. It goes forward. It constantly grows. It shows your losses, your equity, your value of the company. And it's something that the bankers or people who are dealing with the capital that you're going after look at. The other one is a profit and loss statement, or it's also called an income statement. And that's just like a checkbook. That's a transactional analysis. Money comes in and money goes out. Hopefully it comes in more than it goes out, but you would essentially that's your second one. And the third one that a lot of people really don't use, because a lot of times their professionals don't show them how to use it, is the cash flow statement. And basically what that does is that shows you there are cash disbursements that are happening that will affect your balance sheet and affect your profit and loss statement every time you write a check. And so what that does is it brings the two together. So it shows you truly where your cash is. You have cash impact from operations. You have cash impact from investments, and you have cash impact from capitalization, and debt and that kind of thing. So all those things impact your cash flow. So those three reports can help you manage your business and tell you what's wrong in any area if you really know how to work with them and not afraid to work with them. It's like a puzzle.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? So tell me, how often should business owners be looking at these? Is this something they look at quarterly, monthly? What is your suggestion?
Well, I usually, depending on when people, you know, when they start their business, the first thing I do is get them to put their financial reports, automate them, because it's very easy. A lot of people will use Excel spreadsheets at first, but there's a great automated program that puts the numbers where you need with one input. So basically, they should be looking at them monthly, I think.
Okay. And are there automated programs that you recommend for people out there who maybe aren't doing this and need to get on board?
Well, one of the biggest ones that is standard in the industry, of course, is QuickBooks. There's QuickBooks Online and there's the QuickBooks program. I always recommend the QuickBooks program as opposed to online because of the ease of use in opening up all the windows and as opposed to having to close some down and open some up. But QuickBooks right now is the one. I think there's a couple others that are being tested on the market, but QuickBooks is one of the better ones that is easy to use and understand.
Okay. So tell me, let's say we've got our financials, everything's up and running. Can you tell me what are the top three most important key deliverables within the business that a business owner should focus on consistently in order to ensure that their economic impact to their bottom line profits is really strong?
Well, the first thing is the up-to-date financial information and actually using that. That would be my first one. The second one, I thought about this, and overall, I think a user-friendly customer relationship management system to connect with clients because you want to treat them as if they're new, and it's very important to connect with your clients, not overwhelming them, but have a way that they can connect with you and you can connect with them. And again, there's a lot that are automated, but I think that's a real important thing that people forget. They have the marketing down, they do the sales down, and then they forget that customer relationship management to keep the customer. The other thing that I think is real important is the relationship balance between what you're marketing and what you're producing. And a lot of times with solopreneurs or even smaller businesses, you get to that point where you think you need to go out and market. You do a wonderful marketing campaign, but you don't have the ways to support that marketing and execute the product line, because the sale really starts once the client says, okay, I'm going to go with you, now show me what you can do. And a lot of times we go out and we try all these marketing pieces based on what people tell us, or rather than what really is good for our sales and marketing strategy and what we can produce at the time. So I would say that those three things are very important to help with your economic impact.
So that third one, I mean, obviously the number two, I hear you, and I know that when I talk to clients, I run into the same thing. When you say the term CRM, you know, customer relations management tool, everybody kind of looks at you and goes, well, I know how many people are in my database, but I don't do a really good job of organizing it or sorting and qualifying it or staying, you know, in touch with my client base. And it's amazing how many people think they need new leads when you sometimes wonder, do you really need new leads or do you need to be in contact with your past clients? Better,
exactly.
You know, that kind of piece. But the third piece, I want to talk a little bit more about this, the relationship between the marketing and what they're producing. Tell me some examples where I know you've worked with a lot of clients where you've come in, and I know you've even come in and been a substitute CEO in some cases, correct? Where you've stepped into that role. And have you worked with companies where that has been their biggest issue? They've gone out, they've done the marketing, they've got the leads, and now they can't deliver on producing the product or the service?
Yes, a lot of times in the contracting industry, that happens a lot. And it depends on the nature of the industry. A lot of times you may have seasonal work. You have to kind of take a look at when you would need that extra workforce to produce the work. What I've seen moreover is the lack of marketing when they're starting to market again, and through the recession, this was some of the biggest ones. But I have a client particularly that about 3 years ago, we started looking at wanting to increase sales. And what we did was we took our time, and over the past 3 years, I believe it's been, maybe four now, that we started layering the marketing, because he was very knowledgeable of the fact that he didn't want to market what he couldn't produce. And so we even held off on opening a new division until we got the foundation reorganized and reset. And he's grown 40% every year since
Wow.
we just did comprehensive campaign. But we did a marketing campaign with the fact that, okay, what can we produce and how can we do it? And we watched our financials so we would know if we could hire new people. Mm-hmm. So it really is really watching, because everybody with now with the social media, the platforms that you can get your name out there doesn't necessarily mean it's going to convert to sales. But a lot of times people think, I've got to market to get sales. And a lot of times, like you say, you can go to your customers that are already there and increase what they're, you know, working with you on and get some impact that way. So I think it's a fine line for people to understand how their marketing can affect their sales and their production.
Gotcha. Yeah. Excellent. Wonderful. So I mentioned earlier that one of the things that you talk about that you do is something called capital infusion. For those who may be listening who haven't had to experience that, God bless them, tell our listeners what exactly capital infusion is.
Well, is really exactly what it says, is putting money into your business. And there's a lot of ways that can be done. The first thing, hopefully, is your business is making a profit so that you can calculate what portion of those profits you want to invest back into your business. And that should be part of the calculation when you're saying to yourself, how much profit do I really need to make this year? I do believe businesses need to make a profit. They need to pay themselves, and they need to invest back in their business. So that's one form of capital infusion, your own capital. The second is possibly a line of credit that can help you offset if, like, for example, you're in a product development company or you're in a contracting field and you want to go into, let's just say, government contracting. You need to have the ability to have capital to do government contracting. And because of the time frame of the billing, because of a lot of issues. But that may be a line of credit with your bank. It may be, I have a client that uses a line of credit and he uses it very sparingly, but he has it there in case he needs it. It doesn't mean he has to use it. Or it would be if you're, say, app development or a lot of technology now, they're looking for capital infusion to grow or to even start their business in the technology field. So that would be private investment, angel investment, that kind of thing. But it's that infusion of capital into your business at any point in time.
Okay. Now tell me about, there are also times when capital infusion is needed because perhaps a company is suffering and you're looking to the outside for people to come in and kind of offer that assistance to pull the company through. Is that true?
Pardon me? What was your question?
Are there situations where a company may be suffering and you're looking for capital infusion from an outside source to help a company through a period of time?
Yes, there are some times with that. A lot of times in the growth phases, when they're trying to move from that one phase to another, I'm working with a general contractor now, and very, very good business, network referral business based, but there's a point where she knows she can't do all the work herself, so she's looking to get that next capital infusion so she can grow, hire people, and take it to the next level, because the business is definitely there.
Gotcha. Can you tell me, when you're talking about, you know, building up, you know, paying itself back and building up certain reserves and so forth, do you have a particular formula that you rely on? Are there certain percentages that you feel a company should aim towards? Is there anything that you can share with the listeners around some certain numbers or some certain formulas that we could kind of lean back on or keep in mind? Or is it all unique to the company itself?
Well, a lot of times you can get statistics from your industry, and industry trade groups are good with that. What I look at the most is people surviving a downturn like we had, which usually used to be 4 to 6 months of the operating expenses that you need. Now that's stretched anywhere from 8 to 12 months of operating expenses is a good thing to try and target in reserves.
Okay.
And again, it does depend on the business as well.
Yeah, the days of 3 to 6 months, I think, are gone.
that used to be
a nice range. I don't know that that's the norm anymore. 3 months just goes like nothing now.
Yeah.
Okay, another question for you. When a business is looking to increase sales, let's say, where should they focus first? Product expansion, sales training, more marketing, you know, where do you tend to lead them? Or, again, is it specific to the industry and specific to the company?
That's a good question. And a lot of times the financial picture can help them with that. If you itemize, if you separate out your income streams, you can see maybe one's a very solid one. Maybe there's another opportunity in the area you just opened up that hasn't been. The first thing that I always look to are the clients that I already have, if they're doing well and if there's something that I feel that they might need that I would suggest. So your own client base sometimes, not that you want to sell them stuff they don't need, but that is one. When you're looking to increase the sales, I would say that you look at your product and services first and you take a look at what opportunities you have. Then I would take a look at the marketing of those services, again, with the balance of what you can produce. You can also offer some maybe specials if you need seasonal fill-ins. Sometimes clients, especially in the contracting industry, have those certain seasons. Mm. So take a look at what seasons, and we try and maximize the revenue in those particular high-end months because there's still work to be done that they usually don't get to in the downtime, and that can be helpful reorganizing their key operating systems or taking a look to see if their marketing is working. The sales training and the marketing kind of go hand-in-hand, and they should actually talk to each other. There's nothing worse than going out with a wonderful marketing campaign that you really can't sell, or that if you have a sales force, they're out in the field, they can give you some really good information. And when you're looking to expand, if you do have other people that are helping you sell, that would be something to take a look at their feedback and what clients might be wanting. The other thing is to read, and a lot of times take a look at what's the future down the line. That might be an opportunity for you that you can grow into.
Okay. Great. Yeah, I've noticed myself, and I've talked to some, you know, people in a variety of different industries where do you find sometimes that production and sales, we'll call it those agencies or those divisions within a company, sometimes have a better opportunity to communicate in order to streamline the process for both the company and the client at the end?
They have an opportunity to work together and streamline the process?
Yes.
Yeah, very definitely, because usually it's the production side or the people who are out there in the field that can get some feedback to a point. A lot of times you get into their own hesitation of working with clients or selling to clients. For some reason, people are very fearful of the sell word, the S word, as I call it. But really, we've been selling since we could talk. And so if you try and listen to what they're saying about their what the clients may be needing, but also help them over the hump of being too shy to suggest some things. That happens a lot in the contracting field because a lot of times the production people are the salespeople. Mm. A different thing would be in maybe the field of marketing, for example, and the selling like Cox Media or whatever. I've seen that the sales staff and the marketing staff really do work together to try and work on what can be, you know, provided to the client and what the client is going to be wanting to have. So they give feedback a lot of times to the marketing department and roll out so the marketing can roll out a really campaign that's going to work.
Yeah. And when that happens, there's such magic, don't you find? I mean, it's amazing when they do that, how much more powerful it can be at the end.
Yeah, and usually, unfortunately, the sales and marketing departments are usually at odds with each other.
Yes,
but
yes.
They do work together. It can be magic, just like you said.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I know what your answer to this is going to be, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When you're working with a client or a business, and what do you look at? How do you know when they've got the green light and it's time for them to expand?
Well, you're going to say, I'm going to say the financials are number one, but the financials can also give us a picture, especially the income statement, can give you a picture of what your production capacity can be as well. And so that's what I would use the financials for, especially if you're a one or two person, even if it's a larger company, you know, what is the capacity that we could produce a little bit more and increase sales, like, can we get 20% more out of the people that we already have without, you know, stressing them out and impacting the client? Or is it time to really take a look at we need to, you know, get more people on board and invest in that human resource because it usually takes about 2 or 3 months to get them up to speed, and at the same time starting to increase the sales and marketing efforts. So a lot of times the numbers don't lie, as I say in my training. They really don't. They can really be helpful in that way to give you the green light. Also, the other thing is to take a look at what capital you would have to sustain that investment in the expansion. That's really important. Most times, one of the common mistakes, another, is undercapitalization of businesses. And business is so dynamic that something geopolitical or anything can impact us at any time. And I think we saw this in this last recession. I've been through four recessions now in California, and this fourth one was probably one of the worst I've been through.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned something that really poses a question for me. When you are talking about looking at production, and in this case you gave the example of maybe trying to get a little bit more oomph out of our staff without impeding the service that we're delivering to the client, how does a business owner balance the satisfaction level of the employees and the satisfaction level of the client while trying to maximize production and, you know, overall efficiency and profits for the business?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think what I would suggest is really working with your staff and working with them to the point of creating a culture where they're taking ownership of the company as well. We saw that with SCIC. I know it's a large, large company, but that concept was really very new of an employee-owned company. Not, you don't have to go that route, but essentially the employees most of all want to know that what they're doing is valued by the company, and the client also wants to know that they're valued. It's a human nature thing. So I think the CEO that is really savvy about the human aspect of production and client retention, it would be very successful. The other aspect of it is also people tend to be fearful of losing their job, and so presenting that information, if you can do it as building a teamwork, I think that would help you as well. And sharing some of the numbers with people. I think Apple has done a good job of that with their people in terms of moving forward and feeling a part of the whole big picture, not just their own particular job.
Yeah.
Also, the other aspect that I think is very useful nowadays, if it's not overdone because everybody is using it, but is the use of technology to also help people's job be easier and to implement, but also to have that contact with the client. It's interesting enough that now I'm reading a lot of trending going back to a backlash in the social media, because when it comes down to it, business is about people. And so the networking and that personal interchange with people is good. So if say a salesperson, employee, you know, help them get on board to contact that client, find out what the client, meet with the client if they can, to find out what the client would want. And the client feels good that somebody is, you know, connecting with them and making those calls. And also, I think it's a group effort, really.
Yeah,
and
you know,
balance.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think you make a good point. I think we can all agree that social media has a powerful place in certain areas of business, but I too agree that it'll always come down to the relationship in business. There's no doubt, no doubt. So can you complete this following sentence for me? Financials in business are critical because they
help to create economic impact and transparency in your business.
Love it. Love it. So while I'm thinking about it right now, and I don't want to lose this opportunity, I mean, you've shared with us so much wonderful information, and I just know that there will be people who are listening today who may want to contact you for your services or may just simply have questions after all of this valuable information. What is the best way for people to follow up with you and get in contact with you, Michelle?
Well, you can either contact me at 619-249-2758. Or if you prefer email, my email is Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, at Sync, T-H-I-N-K, hyphen biz, B-I-Z as in zebra, .com.
Okay,
and
great.
And I would be more than happy to connect with you and have a conversation. I look forward to it.
Great. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Again, everyone, that phone number was 619-249-2758. And Michelle's email was Michelle at thinkbiz.com. That was thinkbiz.com. Well, I am going to just say thank you again. I can't tell you how much we appreciate all of your information. I know I've got pages and pages of notes here, as I'm sure everyone else does. And that's our show for today, everyone. I am Deanna Potter, your petite powerhouse. Thanks for being with us today, and a special thanks to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next Monday morning for another Women Leading the Way radio show. And our host next week is Barbara Eldridge, and her show is Trending Women. And the guest next week will be CJ Westridge. And the guest, CJ owns a company called HR Jungle. And I happen to know CJ, and she's a wealth of knowledge on all things related to HR. You will not want to miss that show. Have a fabulous week, and thanks for listening. And again, thank you very much, Ms. Michelle. I want to thank you for being our guest, and we appreciate you taking the time. Everyone have a wonderful week, and thanks again for tuning in.
Thank you.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.